Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. It occurred to me this week that the last time I preached on this story, 6 years ago, both of my parents were still alive. Now they remain to me only in memory. That may be true of many of you who have lost loved ones this past year or in recent years. Yes, we have pictures and keepsakes, but what we mainly have is our memories. If so, then perhaps you, like me, have discovered a curious thing about memory. It is both vital and fragile. The first half of that statement is easy to understand. Memory is simply vital. It is our memories, after all, that create our sense of reality of what has happened in our lives. Shared memories constitute our relationships with those around us. Our collective memories of people, places, and events provide the backdrop against which we lead our lives. Our memory, in short, gives us our identity, which is what makes losing memory to dementia or Alzheimer's so hard. Absent our memories, who are we? Memory is vital. But memory is also fragile. And that can be a little harder to admit. In fact, we often have such tremendous confidence in our memory that we assume everyone else's is a little deficient. For instance, if I say to you, you know, your memory isn't really as good as you think it is, you'll likely disagree, maybe even be offended. But if I instead say to you, you know, your wife's memory or husband, friend, partner's memory isn't as good as they think, you'll likely nod your head in agreement and say, so you've noticed too. Think for a moment of all of the family disagreements over the years that were started precisely by remembering the exact same thing a little differently. Yes, memory is vital. And yes, memory is fragile. Which is why stories are so important and why we enshrine our most important stories in traditions. By telling a story over and over again, and by doing the same things as we tell that story, we preserve our most cherished memories so they can remind us who we are. You likely have some traditions that do this for you. The song you always play while you're approaching the cabin first time up in the summer. The meal you cook for family reunions. A favorite ornament that you hang in just the most special place in the Christmas tree each year. A story about your parents that gets told hilariously each time all the kids are together. Traditions make these memories come alive and help remind us who we are, where we've come from, and where we're going. The story we heard from Exodus this morning is all about memory and tradition. Moses, commissioned by the God he met in the burning bush, has gone to Egypt and demanded that Pharaoh set the Israelites free. And Pharaoh has refused. In response, God has sent plague upon plague to Egypt. And again, Pharaoh has come ever so close to releasing the Israelites and then hardened his heart and changed his mind. And so now it is the evening of Passover, when God will send the angel of death to strike down all the firstborn in the land, except of those whose homes have blood of a lamb on their doorposts. Those homes the angel will pass over. And on this night, the Israelites will flee Egypt into the desert and freedom. More than 3,000 years later, this story is still the central tradition of Judaism. Each year at Passover, faithful Jews around the world hold their Passover feast, dressed in traveling clothes to remind them of their flight from Egypt, eating roasted lamb prepared with bitter herbs to remind them of the bitterness of slavery, and making unleavened bread, bread that is normally food for the road, keeping all of these traditions in order to immerse themselves in this story. A story that reminds them of how desperate they were in Egypt, of how God rescued them, and how it was the beginning of a new era as they would depart the country of their oppression and journey now toward the promised land. The final meal that Jesus shared with his disciples was a Passover meal. It's the meal we call the Last Supper. And after telling the story of God's rescue of the Israelites of old, Jesus tells the disciples that God will now save them, and indeed all of the world, in a new way, by establishing a new covenant, one made with the very body and blood of God's own Son. And after that meal, the covenant of which Jesus spoke, this new covenant, is ratified as he, God's new Passover lamb, is taken away to be crucified. But the story doesn't end there, as 3 days later, Jesus is raised from death, promising that God's love is stronger than hate and God's life is stronger than death. Each Sunday that we come together here, we're reminded of that story and of those promises. The story of God's new covenant, of God's love made manifest in Jesus, and the promise that God will be with us always to encourage us, support us, bring us through the hardest things of our lives, and in time, bring us through death to new life. Sometimes these promises are easy to remember, but sometimes they are not. Illness or setbacks, challenges at work or disappointments at home, the loss of a job or the end of a relationship, all these and more can make it difficult to remember and believe God's promises. And so we come together here on Sundays and enter into the traditions of our faith, making the sign of the cross, sharing in the confession and absolution, saying the creed together, singing beloved hymns, praying the Lord's Prayer, to help us remember the story of Jesus' cross and resurrection, and thereby remember who we are, God's own beloved children, accepted and loved just as we are. Of all the things that threaten our memory of God's promises, perhaps nothing is greater than the loss of a loved one. The pain, the grief, the absence of one who was so very important to us can make it just plain hard to believe and trust that they are not lost to us forever. And so, in addition to the traditions of our regular Sunday worship, once a year we gather together on All Saints Sunday. All Saints was first established as a festival of the church in the 8th century to commemorate all those who had lost their lives to persecution and martyrdom, but whose names had been forgotten. It was a way of remembering that even those forgotten by history and the church are still remembered by God. During the Reformation, Martin Luther broadened this festival to include not just martyrs, but all those who have been baptized into Christ and who now rested from their labors. All of us, Luther insisted, are God's children. All of us are declared saints by God. And all of us are accepted and forgiven and loved and redeemed by grace. And that is why we gather this morning, why we will move shortly to a moment of reflection accompanied by music and closed with prayer, to remember that those we have loved and who have gone before us, to remember God's promises of love and life, to remember that even should we forget, God remembers all of us, our loved ones, and all God's promises. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor and theologian who was executed by the Nazis just near the close of World War II because of his opposition to Hitler and his efforts to rescue Jews. As he was led away to be hanged, other prisoners that he had regularly encouraged were overcome by grief, but not Bonhoeffer. Hearing his name called just before walking to the gallows, he turned to one of his fellow prisoners and said, "This is the end, but for me, just the beginning of life." That is God's promise to us, to our loved ones who are no longer with us, to all those across the centuries who have been called and claimed by grace. And it is a promise that holds true No matter whether death came after a long and full life or one that was cut short by illness or tragedy, whether it was a peaceful death or a violent one, whether it was expected or unexpected, God's promise is the same. God's love is stronger than hate. God's life is stronger than death. Even when we forget, yet God remembers. And what seems like the end is truly only the beginning. Let us remember.